sin, but I'd rather get her going than to give out my big 10-inch red band that plays the blues. Well, band that plays the blues. She just loved my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues. Okay, welcome back. It's been a while. This is the Irrelevant Rock and Roll and Music Show, back on Sundays by popular demand.
The original theme music.
With the original theme music,
because
that's right.
The outcry.
The outcry.
The protest, the viral worldwide protest.
Yes, with original theme music, which people seem to like as well. And this is the show for May 9th. This show is dedicated to all the record stores out there. It's a celebration of something that happened on April 17th, a couple Saturdays ago, which was called International Record Store Day.
But it's not worldwide?
Well, I thought it was worldwide. They were calling it international, and then, you know, what happened to, like, South America? It wouldn't have really worked calling it North American Record Store Day. It's only been around for about 3 years. It started in 2008, and it was a way to show support for all these people who stand behind the counters and every day work really hard to introduce us to new music and to help independent bands and to keep vinyl alive. It's really worked. It's really, really been a boom to all these stores. It's been really good. I was at Vortex, which we'll talk about later, and which is in Toronto, up at Yonge and Eglinton. It was a madhouse. Vortex is not very big to begin with. It's about twice the size of the studio. Crafty, that's how big it is. And there were like 50 people there. It was pretty chaotic. But got some good music, got some interesting things. They were doing 25% off for a record store day. A favorite haunt of yours you know about on Bloor Street in Bathurst in Toronto. Sonic Boom had Sloan playing and Buck 65 from Montreal. So it was quite a big day.
I see he's from the East Coast.
Is he from the East Coast?
Yes.
I was wrong. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. It happens. Anyway, it was a lot of fun, and we really wanted to celebrate this in a really big way. More and more artists have been getting involved in it. You mentioned Sharon Jones. They actually had a special 7-inch 45 that came out just for Record Store Day.
A lot of people putting out vinyl.
Yeah,
a lot vinyl of people sales are up. CD sales are down, but
yeah,
yeah. But vinyl sales are up. A lot of people. It's you know. You want to go on forever? Go on vinyl.
This is what this is all about. A celebration of music that you can find if you go out to your local independent record store. You can find all this stuff that we're going to talk about today.
The Irrelevant Rock and Roll and Music Show.
We're going to send it over to Crafty. And why don't you tell me the first album you would like people to go and check out in the stores?
You can't buy it on CD because it's not available. Never been available on CD. The vinyl is available. The album is called Rainbow Bridge. And it's by Jimi Hendrix. And it's not like going out and buying. What's the one that's out right now?
Oh, Valley of Neptune.
Valley of Neptune. This is not Pro Tools reconstructed bits and pieces of jams. This is something, these are constructed songs that were finished. Well, it was recorded in 69 and 70. I don't think it came out till after he died, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it came out in 71.
And Cry of Love and this album were supposed to go together to become The Land of the New Rising Sun.
Which would have been a double album.
Yes. And there is a issue that the Hendrix family did. They did their version of that, what they thought that album might sound like, which it is incomplete because most of the songs are, I believe, and I could be wrong, but owned by this cult that did this Rainbow Bridge. And the film, it's amusing. You want to see Jimi Hendrix drunk, watch this film. It has some good performances live and everything, but the album is brilliant. This, it makes this Valley of the Neptune just sound like War Heroes or Beginnings. And it's like, these are albums you got to stop. These are the albums that matter. Are You Experience, Axis, Electric Ladyland, Band of Gypsies for sure. And then it's Cry of Love and this album, Rainbow Bridge. Every song on this album is amazing. And the one we're going to play, the studio version of Star Spangled Banner. The album itself, taken from the vinyl, is fantastic. It sounds great. It's not outtakes. It's every song, and from Look Over Yonder to Earth Blues, and this instrumental polygap based around a simple bass line. There's not one weak song on the entire album. Not only that, if you put the album on and listen to it in its entirety, it just works as an album.
So let's hear Star Spangled Banner, the studio version.
Most people have never heard.
Yeah, they've heard the live version at Woodstock, but this actually was done in the studio. So here it is. Jimi Hendrix from Rainbow Bridge. One of the albums you can go out and not just on Record Store Day, any day of the week to an independent music store who sells used vinyl and pick it up. A lot of people, when I was putting this show together and talking about doing this show, Crafty did not, but other people did, said, well, why are you doing this? Why would you want to do a show about this, about old dusty things that a lot of it we can just pick up on iTunes, or why would we really want that when we can just go buy a nice shiny new current artist at some place like Future Shop or Best Buy? The reason we're doing this, if you do not support these stores, then the only people who will be selling you music will be places like Walmart, Best Buy, Future Shop, Costco, and these places, you can buy stuff remarkably cheaply, but the selection is just abysmal. They're supported by the five major record companies. They're really only interested in what's current and what's popular. And if you ever tried to talk to, like, you know, I'm not going to say every single store, but the ones I have encountered, someone at Future Shop or Best Buy about a certain artist or music, they have no idea. They have no idea about what they're selling in that. They're more interested in selling televisions and refrigerators and
warranties.
And warranties.
Would you like to get an extended warranty on that album in case it scratches next week?
And then people say, well, Kate, you can get all this stuff on iTunes. Do you know, Crafty, you cannot get Bob Seger on iTunes.
Huh.
You cannot get Husker Du on iTunes. You cannot get the Beatles on iTunes. You can get Paul McCartney, but you can't get the Beatles. I go onto iTunes a lot to get ready for this show because it's really easy to do. Sometimes it's much easier than recording an album to do for Retro Perspective, and I'll take an iTunes album. But I have found huge gaps with that music just isn't available. That's what we're trying to save these stores for. And it's a really worthwhile prospect because there's nothing more satisfying, Crafty, than basically, you know, going to a store like I did the day I went to Vortex on Record Store Day and looking through all this music then deciding on what you're going to take home.
And you walk into Sonic Boom and just don't walk in there with too much money if you like records and CDs.
You'll walk out with,
oh,
like,
my God, this, oh, I haven't had this since I was 14. Or, oh, my God, there's a copy of this. I lost this.
Okay, so you started with Jimi Hendrix and Rainbow Bridge. And I'm going to start with a Slade album. And not a Slade album that a lot of people know about. Slade is really, really known for their singles. I have a greatest hits album by Slade, and I have Slade Alive. I have the album that came after this a little while down at the track, which is one you were talking about earlier tonight about that has Oh My My on it, and Run, Run, Runaway, which is Keep Your Hands Off My Power Supply, which was their introduction to the United States and to Billboard. But this album, I really like it a lot, and you can find it on vinyl, you can find it on CD. In England and in Canada, it was called Old, New, Borrowed, and Blue. In the States, for some strange reason, just like they decided with Harry Potter that no one would understand Philosopher's Stone was and it had to be Sorcerer's Stone, it became Clap Your Hands and Stomp Your Feet. It's just a happy album. It's got a lot of energy on it. Noddy Holder has a great, great voice. And he really knows how to use it. And I would go as far to say he probably has a better rock and roll voice than Brian Johnson from AC/DC. He's got more range and more power. And certainly he displays it on this album. And it's just got a bunch of great songs on it. It's got the When the Lights Go Out. We talked about that with the last Cheap Trick album. They did a version of When the Lights Go Out. This is the album it came from. Just a Little Bit, which is a great, great song that they ended up doing in concert. And I think that's really what they did with this. They really wanted to, they didn't want to be a singles band anymore. They wanted to capture that sound they had for Slade Alive.
Because I was introduced to Slade at Slade Alive. That energy. It's also, you know, it's very comparable is Humble Pie Rock and the Fillmore.
Yeah.
Which, if you started there and then you go to their studio albums, it takes a little while to warm up to the studio albums because it's a hard energy to catch. I guess you could also compare, and this would be really close, is Frampton Comes Alive, who was the guitar player in the other band. And it's just... There was something about Slade Alive, and even the album Slade Alive, to me, there's only certain moments that really hold up for me. But I agree with you that, man, that guy could wail. He sang more like Bon Scott than the other, what's that guy's name, Brian Johnson?
Brian Johnson.
Yeah, who was more just a screamer. These guys sang, and it was coming from somewhere.
And they're still out there. They're still performing.
Who, Slade?
Yeah, they're still out there performing.
That's crazy, yes.
It's great, eh?
Imagine Slade on the double bill with Status Quo.
Oh, my Lord. I don't know if we could handle that. Anyway, here it is. Slade, do we still do it? And I think they do. And you can hear if you think they do.
Listening to Radio 2069 worldwide.
I just wanted to add a little bit about some of the great independent record stores here in Toronto and give a little bit of stuff about that. I mentioned Vortex Records. Mike's Music, which is out in the Danforth. Apparently, Mike is there all the time. He's a rather older guy. I met him. He's got a beard and long hair, and he's got a white beard and long hair. Kind of looks a little bit like Santa Claus. Very nice guy. Does a lot of stuff for independent bands around there. Carries a lot of independent music. And they carry both new, used, and vinyl, and new and used vinyl. And Crafty, you wanted to say something about new vinyl coming out.
I do.
Yeah, you did. You wanted to say that a lot of bands now are releasing albums in vinyl, as well as they're releasing albums on CDs.
They are?
They are.
At the store, we sell more record players now to people who are just listening to music as opposed to DJs.
Wow.
Most of the turntables I sell now are to, you know, people who either got hold of their parents' record collection or just decided that they want a record collection, and they come in and they buy turntables as opposed to DJs, like maybe almost 5-1. And speaking of record stores, we cannot not mention Scott at Neurotica.
We are going to mention Scott at Neurotica.
I just did.
Well, we'll mention him again, too.
Oh, okay.
He may get mentioned 3 times.
All right.
One of the favorite stores I like to frequent is a store on Yonge Street called Monster Records. It's a really neat store. They have a lot of tie-ins to a lot of videos and DVDs of music as well. They carry vinyl, they carry CDs, it's mostly used stuff. They have Jeff Healey's 78 collection of all his old jazz records and stuff on 78. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. They know Jeff Healey. They also know Danko Jones.
Right.
One of the things they have a connection with, which is oddly enough, is Thin Lizzy. And they have been instrumental in the last 8 years of having a Thin Lizzy tribute night set up with different bands, which has raised money to put a statue up in Phil Lynott's hometown.
Did they ever get a statue?
Yeah, they got the statue.
Oh, they got it up.
Yeah.
They got it up. Get it?
Yeah, yeah. Very funny. And Phil Lynott's mother was there, Rose, at the statue. I guess you call it erecting the statue. No matter what we do, we're going to get sexual innuendo here. And it was great. And this store started that.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing.
Canadian store.
Awesome. Monster Records. Got a really interesting window. It's got all kinds of old records in it, and CDs and Kiss miniatures and everything under the sun you would expect to find like at a comic convention. It's great. It's a great place to go. It's Monster Records on Yonge Street, just south of Bloor.
Amazing. Still doing business on Yonge Street.
Yeah, still doing business on Yonge Street. And we're going to talk about Yonge Street a little bit later when we talk about Sam the Record Man. All right, so Crafty, you have another album that we can go and find that deserves to be played again at a place like Monster Records, and it's quite possible you would find this at Monster Records.
Well, it's probably one of the greatest albums of all time. The album's called Truth.
Another one?
This is actually one of the greatest records ever made.
Okay.
Where Rainbow Bridge is not. It's just a much better Jimi Hendrix album than that sludge that is being passed off as Hendrix right now that's on the market.
I wasn't, by the way, saying that you had said Jimi Hendrix is one of the greatest albums ever made. I'm saying you actually have said that about other albums in the past.
Well, when
I probably have too.
Then they are. Anyway, this is one.
I'm going to shut down.
For so many reasons, I defy anyone into rock music to not agree with this. You have Rod Stewart singing at his prime. I mean, you think it's the Faces, forget the Faces. You think whatever songs you know Rod Stewart for, forget it. When he lays into Old Man River, and they do it on this album, he's in his prime and backing him up. I mean, it's actually a Jeff Beck's album. And you have Jeff Beck just saying, forget the Yardbirds, forget Eric Clapton, forget Jimmy Page, listen to me. And this is where Beck came out and said, look, this is the way it is. And I've said it many times before, Jeff Beck is probably the only rock guitar player alive that has continually progressed to new heights. Most of them just play the same crap over and over, or not necessarily crap, but the same stuff over and over again. They rest on their laurels. Jimmy Page and Eric Clapton, both, you'll hear the same riffs played for 30-40 years. Well, Beck did this, and then he never did it again. He never made a Truth album again. This is unbelievable songwriting, performance, and the backup, Ron Wood, playing bass, where he's plays guitar for the Rolling Stones, Nicky Hopkins on keyboards, Keith Moon actually playing on a song, Bolero, an instrumental. This is an album that totally deserves to be heard again. And if you don't know who Jeff Beck is, but you know who Rod Stewart is, you're a Rod Stewart fan and you want to hear him singing at his peak. I mean, I don't know how old he was, but this guy had that voice. And he's totally at his peak on this album. And the songs are brilliant. The song we're going to listen to is a song called Morning Dew. And there's been various versions of Morning Dew, but nothing will touch this. This is where Beck just said, this is my style. He plays notes where no one else plays. He makes tones that no one else would play. This is where he just laid it down, says, I'm Jeff Beck. The album's called Truth.
Won't be out in the morning dew, buddy. Please walk me out in the morning dew sometime. Can't walk you out in no morning dew. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Can't walk you out in no morning dew. But I heard a young man crying. Thought I heard a young man crying today. You didn't hear no young man crying. You did not hear no.
The Irrelevant Rock and Roll and Music Show.
So that was Rod Stewart on lead vocals, Jeff Beck on guitar, and from the album Truth, Morning Dew. And definitely you can find that if you go out look in some of the independent music stores around Toronto.
Vinyl or CD.
Vinyl or CD.
And the remastered CD sounds actually brilliant.
Sounds really good. But get the remastered CD. If you just get the regular CD, it does not sound like the vinyl.
Like most early CD pressings.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to talk about some of the great used and independent record stores that used to be on Queen Street. And some that still are there now.
Like Neurotica with Scott. Yeah.
Lots of great vinyl. I've gotten some really interesting vinyl from there. I got the first Alcatraz album, which had Graham Bonnet on vocals and Malmstrom on guitar. Great stuff. And pretty reasonable price. And every so often they have like a 50% off vinyl
sale.
Great
place to buy used hip-hop because he wants to get rid of it. So he sells it really cheap.
He just doesn't like it.
I don't know if it's still like that. But they go, yeah, buy that. Yeah, $2. Just get it out of here.
Well, he's got this stuff in the front. He puts it all out in like tons and tons of like milk cartons in the front. And $1 or 7 for $5.
Very super eclectic collection. And he's a very knowledgeable person.
It's a bit of an interesting store to get around because it is so packed with music. Oh, it's kind of hard. Let's talk about Record Peddler. Record Peddler that used to be down on Queen Street, a mainstay of Toronto for a long, long, long time. But the guys running Record Peddler really knew their music really, really well. And they were probably the start of the first store that the people who worked in the store were as interesting as the music they were selling. Do you remember Record Peddler, Crafty?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be across from Maple Leaf Gardens and it moved to Queen Street. And people who don't know, was it last year or a couple years ago? But the fire that happened on Queen Street just wiped Record Peddler out and took out Suspect Video as well.
Yeah, that was a fire, all right.
Yeah, and everything's gone in that area. And now everything's gone right down to the Big Bop. The Big Bop is now gone too. So that whole block is now no more. But yeah. Record Peddler was a really important store. And another store I really liked on Queen Street was Driftwood Music. Remember Driftwood Music?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really nice people working there and interesting. They wanted to talk to them.
Just off Queen Street?
No, it was on Queen Street. It's some card shop now. Is this down from Cops Collectibles on the south side?
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the one that was on McCall then?
Oh, you're talking about Around Again? That's on Baldwin.
No, McCall. There was a record store in McCall.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Which has now moved into the black market.
Oh, that's Penguin Records.
There you go. See, there's so many of them.
There's so many of them.
It's hard to believe there was so many. There was a time, I remember, I would make lists of people. People would say, well, where do I buy records? Like somebody from Boston or New York or something. And I would make this little map. And I would be amazed when I'd, like, there'd be 10 Metropolis, you know, Record Peddler, Neurotica. You'd like there'd be 10, if not 12, places where you could go buy CDs and records. And the person from out of town would go, oh my God, how could there be so many? But it's not so much anymore.
When I was in Washington, and I went to that one really neat store called Crooked Beat, he said there used to be like 6 or 7 stores on that one street, and they were all gone. He was the only one left. And I think he had a really good internet business, and I think that's what kept him around.
Well, it's still good. It's still good, but it was amazing how many record stores there were.
Let's talk about Rotate This, because Rotate This is a mainstay.
And still there.
And still there. And it moved to bigger quarters, I guess, a bit more of space.
Somebody more reasonable landlord, maybe?
Maybe, possibly. Very big supporters of independent artists.
One of the
artists.
Few stores, like the cool stores that has survived the Queen Street upgrade and rent up. If you think about it, almost nobody survives that. And so this is something for Rotate This. They actually said, screw this, we're here, we're just moving across the street and stay. Because I can't think of too many other stores that are being uprooted every day as Queen Street gets turned into box stores and corporate mania. So hats off to them, and hats off to all of them.
It's interesting because there was an article a couple years ago about Rotate This, and they always asked them why they didn't franchise. The guy who owned it said, I just can't find the staff to open a second store that is knowledgeable as a staff I have. You really have to kind of know your stuff to go in there. You really have to know what you're looking for.
Boy, you won't find much mainstream.
No.
Kind of like reading Exclaim magazine. Yeah. Who are these people?
An album or a CD you may find at Rotate This is my next pick. It's not what you call a polished album, but to me, it is a very honest album. It has a lot of interesting people who worked on it. One song, Phil Lynott, not here anymore, but from Thin Lizzy. Steve Marriott is on the same song Phil Lynott is on. We just mentioned Humble Pie. He's playing there as well. A couple of people from The Only Ones are on it, the guitar player and the drummer. You know, Steve Jones and Paul Cook from the Sex Pistols play in a couple of songs. And Chrissy Hynde is on there as well. I'm talking about Johnny Thunder's album. This is his first studio album. It was called So Alone. He doesn't have the best voice craft, but I appreciate his honesty. I appreciate he put himself out there. And our next show, we're going to talk about the new Slash album. And Slash is not singing on any of his songs. Brought in singers for every single one of his songs. And Johnny Thunders at least had the courage, even though he wasn't the greatest singer out there, to put himself out on this album. On some songs, I think he really catches it, and it certainly has that. If rock and roll is really about a train sort of going off the tracks, then this album really brings that out. Because at times, it really sounds like the song is just being held together with, like, nails and tape and glue, that at any second it could just, like, fall apart.
You're listening to Radio 2069, Rock and Beyond.
It doesn't pay to try. All the smart boys know why. It doesn't mean I didn't try. I just never know why.
Johnny Thunders, So Alone. And some really interesting things. He does some stuff. He does Give Her a Great Big Kiss. He does Pipeline. Some people have always said Johnny Thunders was a pretty shitty guitarist when he was with the New York Dolls. But on this album, he stands his own. And it really sums up Johnny Thunders' life. I mean, he had a heroin addiction. He wasn't the front man. When the Dolls sort of broke up, he really didn't know what he was going to do. He ended up doing a lot of things with his band called the Heartbreakers at Max Kansas City. He one time said in the late 80s and early 90s, he said, "What I really want to do is go to New Orleans, find a lot of really old musicians and put a band together because that's where it really counts. That's where the talent is." And he, 1991, he went to New Orleans and he died. It's like he hit the promised land and he did what he said he was going to do. And before he could do anything musically, he had died. This is a rock and roll survivor who was trying to survive. And if you think about his life and what happened afterwards, and you hear this song, you can't put your arms around a memory. There has never been a truer lyric written in rock and roll.
Well, you know, we can segue into Al Stewart because he's another guy that doesn't have the greatest voice. But sometimes the voice works. You kind of took my comments out of context there.
What did I do?
Well, you just did.
I did?
You took it out of context.
Okay.
Because it's not all about, like, singing perfect. It just, sometimes it works. And that song that you said, you can't put a memory.
Arms around a memory.
Arm around a memory. His voice actually works very fine with that song. It was more in context that it just wasn't, it's not really my bag.
I understand.
That music, it never was my bag so much. Though so that is a great song and a great title at that.
And he wrote it, eh?
Yeah, and so, which brings us to Al Stewart, who many people find his voice is not not that appealing either, but what a great songwriter, and especially the album Love Chronicles, which is most people know. I think we haven't done a retrospective. We've picked this album before because I remember I've had these thoughts before. I remember just the first time I heard this album, it was an ex-girlfriend's friends that were playing it, and they played the whole thing, and I remember listening to it, and the song Love Chronicles, which is about almost 20 minutes long or some ridiculous thing. I can imagine a 20-minute folk song that ends with, it became less about fucking and more about making love as its final conclusion to the tale. He could tell stories. And if you can get used to his voice, it's just his tales are great. And the song that we're going to do now, which is
The Ballad of Mary Foster.
Yeah, which is, what a tale. It's a movie. It's a song. It's a movie. Just write his lyrics down and there's a movie. One of my greatest regrets is that he would just play Hugh's Room this summer or this fall, spring, recently. And I let it slip right by me because I've never had a chance to see him live. And I would just die to hear him sing anything off Love Chronicles. I kind of like to see Love Chronicles remade because the production is old. Though it does, it still holds up. But the songs, like the lyrics off this album, like it's also, as far as I'm concerned, except for there's a reissue that has two or three extra songs on it. You got to take those things off. It just destroys it. When the album ends with Love Chronicles, and if you hear a song after Love Chronicles, stop playing it and don't listen to it. Great album, and the song, let's hear it.
The Ballad of Mary Foster.
Oh, yeah.
David Foster lives in Gloucester with his family. Works till paid time, through the daytime, comes home for tea. Steak and kidney, then with Sydney to his club and feels free. They close the bar, he finds his car, and then goes home to sleep. And his wife has been with Rosie, in the parlor where it's cozy. Watching telly, doing dishes, patching pants and making wishes. And he'll say, Bill should have wired, and not tonight's dear, I'm too tired. And life drifts slowly by in the provinces. Peter Foster goes to Gloucester for his first school day. Bites his teacher, sees a preacher, and is taught to pray. Sees some birds and learns some words. It's very, very rude to say. Yes, he's rather like his father was in his young day. And his father has discussions, holding forth about the Russians. Will the red Chinese attack us? Do we need the Yanks to back us? And in bed she feels his shoulder, but he grunts and just turns over. And life drifts slowly by in the provinces. Wedding rings come with strings, but love depends on the little things. Oh, could that still be really you? Is there anything time can't do? David Foster's been promoted, he's a decent sort. Peter's gone to dad's old public school, it's good for sport. They've even got a private parking place down in Huntingdon Court. Maybe soon he'll be a magistrate, the neighbors thought. Yes, and then he'll teach the beatniks and the hang around the street nicks, and the good for nothing loafers who knock girls up on their sofas. And his wife is quite nice, really, though she seems a little dreamy recently. I was born and brought up on the east side of town, and my earliest days they passed quickly. I would play after school with the kids all around in the sun and